The podcast you are listening to of Holmberg's Morning Sickness is brought to you by my friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet mesquite. Repeat. Trust me on this one. You've had barbecue before, but you haven't had it this good. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Eric'sFamilyBBQ.com.
Eric's Family Barbecue has arrived and is simply the best barbecue in Arizona. Come satisfy your taste buds with meats that are smoked over mesquite wood and sides that are made with fresh ingredients and tons of love. They have the best, juiciest brisket, pulled pork, rib, sausage, turkey, or everyone's favorite, the Pitmaster Sampler that includes all the meat and four sides, mac and cheese, potato salad, coleslaw, corn, or beans. Yum! And for dessert, try some creamy banana pudding. Amazing! Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Make the trip. You won't be sorry. Dine in or take it to go. Go to Eric's Family BBQ.com for more info.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Friday. It's 5:45. My name's John Holmberg. There's Brady Bogan. There's Brett Festley. Big Dick Toledo's around here somewhere. And it's another glorious one. Probably going to rain later today, which isn't so bad. I'm just putting on a brave face, everybody. Just putting on a brave face, trying to get through another day as a man who likes sports. Struggling with today, what do you do when legacies die? It's painful as a Cub fan. I know Diamondback fans. Diamondback fans grew up buying and selling their championships.
Wasn't really any homegrown.
Yeah, there's not a lot of homegrown on that. So the buying and selling of championships, I don't think Diamondback fans recognize. The Diamondback fans that are like, that started with the Diamondbacks. If you had a team before that and you were willing to switch, you didn't really have a loyalty to begin with.
Yeah.
But it's painful, man, buying and selling that kind of stuff. Yankees do it, but they've got even homegrown right now. But the Cubs trading away what I thought was my best friend. In fact, I said so on tape with him 1 year. I got to interview Anthony Rizzo, and I said, you'd realize we've done this 2 years in a row now. And he's like, yeah. And I said, that makes us best friends. We're best friends now. You can't deny that. You wouldn't come back otherwise. I got a picture in my house of Anthony Rizzo that I took with Megan, autographed.
A cuck photo.
A cuck photo, Brad. I'd have allowed the cucking. That cucking would have been glorious. I'd have sat back. In fact, the statue I would have presented when he retired as a Cub was of him in cuck mode with me sitting in a chair behind watching the whole thing. Chicago fans would have rejoiced like this. What is this? Oh, this is Cubs legend Anthony Rizzo banging some guy's wife down in Phoenix because he's best friends with him. And now he's a Yankee? He's a dreaded Yankee? So, yeah, the hero of the team I've been watching for my entire life, the one that brought the World Series. And I know average fan will say, dude, you got your World Series. But that's what you want to hang on to, isn't
right.
it? That's what an old-fashioned sports mind says. I don't want that to die. I want that guy to always be a Cub. I don't want him to go get a title with the Yankees. I mean, they just loaded up. Who knows?
Still need arms.
It still goes back to the downside of the sports, that it's four or five franchise on whatever, football, basketball.
True.
That always have a run at the championship.
They say parity, but they lie because it's the teams. How the Cubs don't have money is beyond me.
They do.
It's the owners. But it's always been the owners. Prior to that, it was The families all before
Tribune family.
The Tribune family didn't pay. The Wrigley family didn't pay. Nobody paid.
It's one of those things. The Ricketts is basically, he gave you guys your championship. Now he's all about the business around the field. It's all about Wrigleyville. Well, he could care less about the team because you knobs will continue to show up.
He's right.
But it's true.
You're 100% right. It's us knobs. We, the knob of Cub fandom, we got raped for years.
We have that magical feel
years,
to begin with.
108 years of just take it, and we're going to trade away everybody you love, and it's never going to work out. And we took it, and we showed up because that goddamn Wrigley Field was, it would make Greek sailors crash. It's the sirens. It's mythology. It brings you back because it's so beautiful. It's that ex-girlfriend that rolls back in, and you're like, oh, putty in her hands. I don't know what's going on. And guys have got that weakness. Wrigley is the weakness. It's Helen of Troy. And then there's Anthony Rizzo. And I'm like, we got a title. The curse is broken, and we have to realize he's our Ernie Banks now.
That's what I was texting yesterday. Yeah. I was like, I always thought he was Mr. Cub 2.0. I was like, that's it.
I would have zero problems with this if Anthony was 39. And was just going over to be a designated hitter for the Yankees in one last hurrah.
Right.
Because the Cubs are out of it. But this one hurts. I mean, Brady, you've been to my house. You've seen the cuck photo.
Oh yeah.
I made in that photo I made him prom like it, or made him pose like it was a prom picture. I'm holding a pen up. I'm like, Anthony, you look over here, and he did it. And you know, Megan's dead on the camera. It's a prom
photo. It's a great photo.
It's a great photo, and it's autographed by New York Yankee Anthony Rizzo. God damn it. And he's likable.
Is it staying up?
No.
Gone, huh?
Gone.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Why am I hanging Yankee pictures on my Cub wall? I got a whole sports bar built at the house.
You captured that Cubby time right there.
See, that's what a passive.
He can't take that away from you.
Sure he can. You know how he can take it away? By celebrating with the New York Yankees. Any sort of title that they get by bouncing on the field when they win the division, by jumping up and down, and they probably won't. That's the worst part.
No, I know.
Depends on where he goes, and then he's going to be somewhere else at the end of the year if they don't sign him back, and then he'll go another place. If he comes back, maybe. But
Get in there and doctor up that jersey. Put some different.
I got a jersey
pinstripes on there.
Well,
you can give it to Brandon Love. He can hang it at his house now.
He's the biggest Yankee guy. God damn it. What do we do as fans when we start cheering for the Laundry? I mean, I'll never forget when Chael Sonnen said that. He goes, those guys don't care about you as fans. He goes, at least the UFC, you can't, you know, switch bodies. You're cheering for a guy.
That's what I miss back in the day. Like, you know, like the players stayed with the teams they came up with.
They wanted
to. It was rare that they would trade or, you know, bounce around.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts, I tells you. And it's dumb. And it makes you feel like an idiot because Jer's a huge Cubs fan. And he texts me yesterday, goes, I am having literal depression about what's happening. You invest so much into sports, and it gets to a point where you're like, what am I doing? What am I doing? You got to stop.
I was emotionally hurt. Turned me into a Cardinals fan. I
mean, and there is those moments where you see guys in the later parts of their career that switch teams. You're like, oh, that's hard to watch.
Four or five bounces.
As a Steelers fan, Franco Harris as a Seahawk is still a cringeworthy thing. It's just so odd but he had to go. He was done. And you'll see that at the end. O.J. Simpson sitting on the bench. I mean, he had a different legacy after all. But, I mean, sitting there in, what was he, San Francisco at the end. And Joe Namath was a Charger. Yeah. Or Johnny Unitas was a Charger. And the Rams had.
The Joe Namath thing is just,
weird. You see him in that uniform. You're like, oh, right. Peyton Manning, Joe Montana are really the only ones, and now Tom Brady, who have jumped. And we gave so much crap to people with Tom Brady downstairs.
Oh, yeah, Dominic.
Has the TB12 and the Patriots 12, and I'm like, this has to come down. He's
Favre
no longer
going
yours.
Right to the rival.
Yeah,
at the end. I mean, that was
Favre going to the Vikings.
Yeah,
yeah, and you can't. But then, as a Packer fan, you no longer wear the Favre gear because he abandoned the fan. That's how it feels. But Rizzo didn't. He got traded, but he might have wanted to. It's weird. Fandom for sports is weird. That's why people, when I say trade Larry Fitzgerald, it's at the end of his career. He's got nothing here. There's nothing here. If you love him, let him have a chance at a championship because you never gave him one.
And in his case, he's always going to be a Cardinal. I mean, at this point in his career. He's always a Cardinal.
Larry Legend.
Yeah.
But had they won a Super Bowl here, it would be catastrophic for him to go somewhere else and chase one more.
Right.
It's different. It's different. It is. It is.
In a way, I would think it would be easier.
Nope.
Because he got one here.
Nope.
Because Brady kind of, you know.
It's painful.
I mean, they've got multiple.
Right. And that's why, as Patriot fans, I don't respect any Patriot fans. Like, I just cheer for Tommy. It's like, no, you can't. This is our title, too. It's like, it is not. He left. He left you, and he won another one.
That's Tampa's.
It'll be interesting.
Tampa stuff. Yeah.
Because if he stays, you know, I'm just worried about Fitzgerald. If, you know, he ends up getting the twisties or something. And he doesn't play.
I thought, you know what? Since Monday, I've been so afraid that I'm going to end up with the twisties. I got an appointment with Katrina, the therapist. We're going to talk twisties now because, you know, you need therapy for these twisties.
Twisties and Rizzo.
It's been a rough week. The trades are everywhere, though. And it's not like it's a guy who bounced from team to team, like Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer, Diamondback, Tiger, gets a national. Did he get one with the Tigers, too? He got a title with them, didn't
he?
Oh, he was there after?
Yeah.
And then goes to the Nationals and gets one. Now he's with the Dodgers. And so you're like, all right, this guy is a gun for hire when things like that happen.
Same with Gerrit Cole.
There's something so strange about that as a Cub fan. It's been on my mind the whole day. And, you know, people texting me, are you okay, yesterday. And I knew exactly what they were talking about. I haven't talked to some of these people.
Did you know he was on the bubble to begin with?
No. That's
what I thought.
He was the only one.
Because you're talking about Bryant.
Bryant and Baez. Yeah. Everybody thought that was going to happen. You start trading that core. And I told people, I'm like, I have not been emotionally invested in this team this year because I knew it was a sale. I knew not to get too involved with this because it's a sale team. There's no, and so I figured the other guys, Bryant and Bryant, Rizzo was the face.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird.
And now it's like now it's just weird because especially with Bryant because he's probably not going to stay. No, who do you build around?
You don't.
I mean, there's these well, you start fresh.
Again, it's bad ownership and bad general managers that have let the farm system go to nothing, and they can't rebuild. And, then, and frankly, as a Cub fan, we have to admit that if it weren't for a small cell of rain that went over Cleveland back in 2016 that stopped that game cold, the Cubs don't even get the championship.
Yeah,
it's painful. But when you win a series, when you get a series with it, you want that guy to stay. You're like, this is our face of our franchise. If you statue guy.
If you can afford it, you want him to stay.
And here's what I don't get. And this goes to beyond sports. So people who don't even understand sports are kind of like, what's he talking about? Like, I don't understand. You got a loyalty with something. It's there's this consistency factor. Your legacy matters, right? Like, why is it, and I guess it's hard to say, but like KUPD, it's a very small version of this. KUPD has been great to me. We're in our 20th year. If, in fact, radio trades occurred, and they're like, hey, we're trading you over to the mountain because I asked to go.
Yeah.
We got to trade
There's
you.
There's only
we
two places
trade
I'll
you,
go.
Or, yeah, we got to trade you, or we got to cut some of your money back.
You got your 10-5 now, though. So you
I got 10-5. I can manipulate this. But I would sit back and say I would rather stay in the place I have made my name happen in this business than bounce. So I'll take a little less. I'm a statue guy. Yeah. It sounds terrible.
No,
it
sounds like real true.
But okay, I say that only because the other guy hears this. He goes bananas. So it's less for my ego and it's more just to punch somebody in the nuts. But it's the longest morning show the station's ever had. Oh, I love saying that. The other guy dies. It is. So you start thinking, you know, you're gonna unload the whole thing because of a money thing. I would take less money to stay in a place where you have full legacy.
And like, there have been guys that have done that. Jose Abreu did the same thing. He says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm signing here again. I'll sign myself.
You want that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of gone. And I get
because,
that it's business,
because
business,
the,
business.
Yeah, the ownership side of it has, you know, that has changed. They would like it if the players
sure,
would do
the
that.
Ownership has too, but they would love that. And the owners make tons of money and the agents have the players convinced, like, look, they're stealing from me if they don't give you more every time. But there's a certain aspect when you're looking at it, you say, like you said, Mr. Cub 2.0.
That's what that
there's a statue of Ernie Banks outside of the Cubs building. The Cubs didn't win anything with Ernie Banks. They did nothing with Ernie Banks. I mean, Ernie was their first African-American super player and all that. But, I mean, there's some of that. Harry Carey has a statue out in front of the Cubs. He was only there for like 13 years.
Yeah, it was Cardinals. He was White Sox.
He was Cardinals longer than anybody, and he was, you know, White Sox. He was people forget he was with the Orioles and the A's for a year.
I forgot that
because he was fighting with all the owners, but he found a home and he became that. And that one's even a little weird because it's a broadcaster.
It is wild.
Al McCoy broadcasting a game for another team is odd. You don't want to hear it.
Or Vin Scully.
Vin Scully being the Padres voice of the Padres is crazy. There's
Hawk
just
Harrelson.
Certain parts where even in this little 7 years that Anthony Rizzo's been a Cub, you're like, no, you were there 2 years prior to the championship, helped the rebuild. You were part of that. You were the cornerstone of that. And it's just, I know.
I don't think
I'm
there's
going
ever
on
been
on.
A contract dispute with Al McCoy. I wonder if there has been.
I'm sure there has.
Oh, yeah.
Our boy, I like to call him Dick Kevin Ray.
Dick
Ray. He's got a contract negotiation going on, and it's not like Kevin, who is going to be like he is now the voice of the Suns, but the legacy will live had if, and he wants a legacy. He wants to do that too, but he also wants the best deal for him. And I don't know his details. I'm not acting
right.
Like I do, but I know he's dealing with contracts right now. So I'm sure broadcasters for the Suns have had those moments. And Al McCoy's like, maybe I hang it up. But at a certain point, it's just as a sports fan and everybody's got something, you don't want to see the guy that you're like, thank you for giving us this. And say you'll always be a Cub. Walk over and still in a good part of his career. It's not like it's over. And go grab one with another team or start bouncing from team to team, and then end up back like Greg Maddux end up back on the Cubs later. And people act like and they retired his number. I'm like, he's a Brave.
Yeah.
Like this is not our guy. He had one Cy Young season. We lost in the playoffs. They got rid of him because they wouldn't pay him back in 1990, and he went off and went crazy with the Braves and became a Hall of Famer there. He was going to do it anywhere, but he could have been a Cub forever. Oh, my God. Cheering for the laundry. That's all we're doing. Chael Sonnen said it. At what point do you realize all you're doing is cheering for laundry? Because that's all it is. Those guys just put on the jersey that pays them the most, and you cheer for the laundry. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks when he said it. I'm like, Jesus, he's right. And when the Steelers went and signed Michael Vick, I realized I'm not cheering for this laundry. I'm not doing that. Then it becomes, what am I cheering for? You know? It's crazy. But so long. And I know, Diamondback fans, you Escobar left, and that has to hurt you too, because now you're going to lose 120 games instead of 114. They're on pace to lose 114 games.
They're horrible.
They're a bad baseball team. So I guess maybe it's better that way. Just don't get invested. Don't do like Brady does.
Just bounce around?
Just don't get invested. Don't get into it.
The other side of it on the college side, that, you know, your player's there for
a year or two.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe a year, yeah, maybe
but
two.
That's what keeps with the team.
You're cheering for laundry more than anything else.
For sure.
Yeah, cheering for laundry.
Whatever the recruiting class that's coming in, you might have to take a year back, and then this is the year that they pop.
But it's funny because you watch, like, the fans take the brunt of the hit because we're running the whole thing off emotion. We don't have money in this. We spend money on it. And it's weird when it hits. This is like a therapy session for me right now, because it is. I needed to talk about this yesterday with everybody, that, like, Cub fans texting me and all this other stuff. And it is. You start running with emotion, and you listen to the guys you're emotional about say, it's a business. It's a business, from owner to player to everything else.
Well, you do have money invested in
jerseys
and
loads of it.
Hats and
the MLB
stuff at the
package.
House. Yeah, exactly.
I spend $400 a year for no reason to have that stupid MLB package. I maybe watched two full games this year because I didn't want to get involved in this team. I knew she was leaving me. I knew this one was going, detached.
It's to the point where you have to know that this is the way it operates.
I know, and it's still, you can't get used to it. Cardinal fans, the only thing I can tell you is if Larry Fitzgerald left 8 years ago and got a championship, that's the pain of it.
Yeah.
That's the, like, he left the year, 2 years after the Kurt Warner Super Bowl, because it's like, this is over. We're going to have to rebuild. And he would have been right.
I think about how many players between the baseball, you know, between the Diamondbacks and the Suns that have left.
Oh, yeah.
And went on. And
Shane Doan.
Got championships and such.
Stayed for 21 years with an absolutely messy franchise.
Right.
That moved from one place to another. Terrible. Good at first, then terrible, then terrible. Most of the time spent being terrible. So many opportunities to leave. It's like, I'm a Coyote. I don't know why you'd want your legacy to be here, but he did it.
You know, if you like the town, and if Doan stays, which
he has, to see that more.
This is his place. It's like your favorite bar.
Yeah. Already, Chris Paul leaving the Suns hurts Suns fans if he goes. I've heard from my sources tell me deals are in place. Just got to negotiate some cash. Chris Paul's not going anywhere. Especially now that the Lakers got Westbrook.
They got their guy. So that.
By the way, Suns fans, good news on that. The Lakers gave up way too much for Russell Westbrook. They've got three players and a D-League team. So congratulations on your jersey sales, Lakers, because you got a ton of those coming. But anyway, that's a different story. Painful, Brett.
I get it.
Win the World Series with your White Sox.
Trying.
Please, go do it. And you know what? Maybe I'll cheer for that laundry later. And even saying that just made my stomach spin. No possible way.
You know what kills me? Like, we were talking earlier about, all the Boston fans still behind Tom Brady. It's like with me, with the White Sox, when Frank Thomas left, that's it. I don't wear the jerseys anymore.
Right.
Everything comes down.
You get the supplements, though.
Oh, yeah, the Nutrigenics, right?
But that's only because of Kevin Ray.
Because of Kevin.
That wasn't Frank at the time. Yeah. But he, you know, at the end of the day, he is a White Sox once he retires. But while he's with another team, no love.
Well, he got his title with them in 2005. Was he there?
He wasn't.
He wasn't really playing much, but he was still there.
He was injured, yeah.
And you can look at him as like the guy who stuck around and helped build this.
He did. No, absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. Oh, it's painful. It's so goddamn painful. Dave Eggleston said, sorry for your loss. Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, Joe Montana wearing different jerseys still drive me crazy. The St. Louis Cardinals were dead to me after Pujols left. Grew up a Braves fan until the strike. And Pujols brought me back to baseball. That's 49ers fans, I didn't even realize how much that had hurt watching Rice, Lott, and Montana go elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess it just feels.
And when he, like,
I don't know,
didn't Rice go to four different teams? I mean, like,
oh, Jerry bounced all over the place. Yeah. Jerry was a Seahawk, a Raider. Did he play for the Jets? I don't remember. He was somewhere else too. But
why not? You said you've wanted Ben to step aside. Would you rather him just go to another team?
It's the end of his career. It's time for the Steelers to say,
right,
we have to move on.
But would you be okay if he went to another team
at this point? Or just yes, retire? Because it's what's best for the team.
Yeah,
the
laundry.
You know, and it's like, look, you're not helping the team out anymore. I think you're a detriment. And look, let him do his victory lap. But I've said it, like, we've gotten all we can get out of your career. That's how I feel. That's different than, you know, a guy in the prime.
Because
I'm not going to be the face of your team anymore.
Yeah. Ben's a Steeler. Brady was with the Patriots last year.
Who knows? He still has it.
I don't think they would have.
I don't think they win a Super Bowl because they don't have the talent around him, but he still got it. And the Patriots should have done everything they could to say, you're not going anywhere. You will never wear another uniform for the sake of the fans. That's gone. Sake of the fans is never an argument.
I don't think
a player sits in an office with a general manager, an agent, and an owner and says, we got to do something for the fans. This is going to crush the fans. And our fan base needs you. So there's a little extra cake coming your way. I don't know. I know it's all money. I know it's all business, but not to us. Not to the super loyal fan. Not to the one shelling out the cash. Not to the one who has his wife cucked by the first baseman of the world championship. First, I even told him that when I talked to him in that chat we had. And I said, you realize that I am saying for the first time since Frank Chance in 1908, world champion first baseman for the Chicago Cubs. Frank Chance was the last one. Tinkers to Evers to Chance. Before radio. It was written. That's how people knew it. The double play combo. You'd had to go before Wrigley Field existed. Like, that's what you are to us. That's what you are to us. It means too much. We are so incredibly gay for men, and we won't admit it. I'm emotional about it. There's a loyalty. Like I always said, women don't like that we like sports because they see what true love looks like, and they don't see it with them. They don't. We don't express true love in the form of emotion towards another human being like we do towards sports. I'm convinced that's true, and I'm convinced that's why some women can't stand when a guy likes a sport too much. They get jealous. They make plans around the games. They don't understand. A lot of women don't allow guys to have sports paraphernalia up in the house. That's one of the first things they take down.
It's a different type of affair.
It's not an affair. She's the affair.
Right.
This is the loyalty. This is the thing. It's wrong. It's 100% wrong.
From relationship to relationship, you carry your same team.
Yes, yes.
The team stays the same.
And to women, too. Sometimes you attach your team to them, and they go on and, well, my ex was a huge Broncos fan, so I'm never going to let that go. But, yeah, it's God, Brady, you should have been more like you. Put those rose-colored glasses on. Valderrod my way around this world.
Speaking of trades, John, it kind of made me sad thinking I'd have to put 95.5 The Mountain on my presets in my truck.
When I was a kid, I grew up here. My mom was a big Bruce Kelly fan, so I became a Bruce Kelly fan. And he switched radio stations, and a dude named Dave Ryan came on KZZP.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
And I didn't know who to be loyal to because I was a weird sports fan kid. I grew up being a sports fan, like, I'm loyal to what? So is it ZZP or Bruce? Am I an individual or am I a fan of the station? I got the sticker on my Jeep, had a KZZP. We ordered Domino's Pizza just to get...
Similar music at the time, where they were direct rivals.
He went over to
Y95.
Yeah. And Y95 was the big, like, oh, we're going after the head honcho here, and we're taking the Hydra. We're taking the head of the thing. And they got Bruce over there, and Bruce and Maggie went over there. And Dave can say he was the king of the 80s. He wasn't. You go back and look at those ratings. Bruce Kelly and Maggie Brock had like a 20 share in this town. They were massive. And Pratt goes around screaming, I was number one. No, you weren't. I've got proof. You go to my friend works at ASU and hates Dave just as much as I do. And he went back to when the early days of ratings started to print books. He's like, this guy was never number one.
And before that, Brandmeier was kicking his ass.
Brandmeier beat the tar out of him, and the reason he left. But yeah, but Bruce Kelly went to
Y95. Got Chicago money.
I felt funny because I had to switch my presets. Number one was now Y95. I took the stickers off my car, and I'm like,
so you stuck with your guy.
Yeah.
Now, what would you do after the afternoons? Yeah, would you? Flip it to one.
Steve Goddard, who works here, and I don't know. I fanboyed a little bit when Steve Goddard showed up in this building. He works at our oldies station, which, by the by, if you're ever into like an oldies day, we have got the greatest oldies station. 92.7
is just fantastic radio. And there's a legend that doesn't get any credit in this town named Steve Goddard, who runs the works. I think he still does, but he was in the hallway once, and he came up and he's like, "Hey, pleasure to meet you. You know, congratulations on all your success." And I'm sitting here like, I used to ride my bike to Rhodes Junior High basketball practice, and like coming home, listen to you on the Walkman. It's so dangerous. Like wires all over me. I've got headphones on. I'm riding out Dobson Road and the canals and stuff. And I'm like, Steve Goddard was the voice. The dude was outstanding. And that oldie station we got, I think he does most of the work. I'm pretty sure it's great. Yeah. But Goddard was my afternoon guy. Guess who went to Y95? The whole crew went over. It's weird. I think so at the end there. Okay. It's weird that I had that kind
of... Gary Eden was writing checks.
Oh, he was pumping out some dough. That's an odd loyalty. But I've thought about it since the Rizzo thing, since my emotional breakdown yesterday. I've thought about that. Rod Woodson to the Ravens, and he won a Super Bowl with the Ravens, was daggers to me. Daggers. I've got Le'Veon Bell jerseys, thinking that guy was going to be around for a long time. I'm glad he wasn't, because he turned out to be a nut.
Dismantled.
I have an Antonio Brown jersey. Those don't hurt you as much because they went nuts. Faces of franchises. It's hard. And this guy says, Ryan Sherman. That's a friend of mine. Sherman to the 49ers. Seahawks fans. That's painful. There's so many. We've all got one. The dudes are coming out with their... This is like an AA meeting. Hi, my name's Todd. And I couldn't handle it when the Seahawks gave Sherman to the 49ers. Hi, Todd. Yeah, I'm a sportsaholic. It's not healthy. It's not healthy, Brett. I should have done like you two. I should have picked cruddy teams like the Bears and the Bengals. I got the Steelers love that drives me nuts for 5 months a season. Now I'm back in on the Suns, which used to make me frantic to the point where I couldn't be around people back in the 90s, and I gave up on that. Now I'm back. They got me back in. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
You've replaced it.
And now the Cubs. And I said it about the Cubs earlier in the year. Once they got that World Series, I took a breath. And I relaxed, and their losing didn't hurt as much and everything else. But then you start giving up statue guys. Larry Fitzgerald's getting a statue for the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
And part of it is because he didn't leave when he had – and I still think they should have traded him. As a Cardinal fan, that's where you give up on your guy and say, he's done so much for this franchise, I want him to go front run. I want him on the Bucks. Get him in the slot for Tampa Bay and give him a chance at a Super Bowl, because the one thing we can't do for him is that. Had he won the Super Bowl in 08, and he would have been, he or Kurt Warner, MVP of that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Had he won that thing, he stays forever. You don't ever let him go. Boy, this is tough. This is a hard day for me, Brady. I'm going to have to, you know what? I'm not emotionally stable enough to do this. I'm going to take off. I got the twisties, Brady. I got the twisties. Now, they're asking all the athletes at the Olympics, the divers and stuff. Did you ever get the twisties? Oh, you can get them. It's just called being disoriented for a little bit. It comes with the sport. And I don't know if you saw it, but Suni Lee,
yeah,
the gold medalist, individual gymnastics gold medalist, to me, was taking a few veiled shots at Simone Biles in her interviews, saying, there's been many times I've wanted to quit, but I didn't. I've gone through a ton of hardships. Her father was paralyzed 2 years ago. In an accident, he fell off a ladder. He's in a wheelchair now. She goes, there's times when I wanted to quit because I was emotionally unstable. I couldn't deal with it. I didn't. And she goes, and here I am standing with a gold medal.
I can understand why she's saying that.
Me too.
Because she's had no shot for the last 4 years.
She's been
with
chasing this lady.
Yeah,
that's
like, I'm not going to.
But I saw it with the swimmers too. This is emotionally crazy. The one swimmer got a silver yesterday, and her dad died 2 months ago. And, of course, NBC's tragedy porn.
Laser.
It's laser. It's your neighbor. But the tragedy porn is like, what's the closest death you've had in the last year?
Give it to me.
And then they do a big story about her. What's your biggest tragedy? And they can't wait to show the tragedy and say, from the ashes rises. So the pressure is like, hey, we're not going to stop reminding you of the worst thing that's happened to you since your last Olympic run plus COVID.
You were ready to quit.
Every single one of them said the pressure is massive. So many times I've wanted to quit. This person made it so I didn't. And I don't know for sure, but that felt like veiled little jabs at like, you don't quit this. You just don't quit. You take on everything. When it seems like you can't go on, that's when you push harder.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's funny as it sounds, the twisties.
Yeah.
Look, I understand if there's something in there.
You're a gymnast. You get it.
Yeah. I've tumbled.
You've tumbled. I've tumbled for you.
Plenty of times.
I've tumbled for you.
But just on any kind of thing, when that little thing gets in your mind.
That's when you are the best or you're not the best.
Yeah.
You're either weak or you're the greatest. And I don't want mental health to become an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's a bigger reason to persevere. It can't be an excuse. It can be a reason. It can't be an excuse.
Don't use it as a crutch.
Don't use it as a crutch. And that's the thing that bugs my raw nerve about it, is that it can't, like, you know, you go through things and you're like, oh, I could blame being depressed. No, your behavior is still yours. Your skin is still yours. You wear that like your skin. You find out why you did it. You found out the reasons why this happened, and you fix that.
On, you know, this last Sunday night, every one of those female skateboarders had the twisties. Yeah. None of them. Did they stop? No, they kept falling.
Those female skateboarders were less balanced and able to move forward than the people at halftime bat spins at basketball games. All right, spin them around the bat 300 times and make them go try to make a basket. They looked like they were dizzied by some sort of contest.
And imagine getting into a sport that says, like, you want to get into this? Well, here's how it works. Yeah. You're going to wipe out five times.
Yeah.
You're going to get one, though.
Yeah. I just don't like any of the, I've got excuses on why I didn't do this. And mental health is not an excuse. It's a reason, but it's not an excuse. You can't just quit and say, I got mental health problems. It bothers me more because the other girls are saying
she's
now,
probably kicking herself and like, I never should have come to the game. I shouldn't have shown up.
Yeah. And I understand her showing up, but and then
I did, you know, what she said.
Yeah. And I disagree with what this guy Devin just said. Simone is a biatch. Well, I'm not going to go that far, but it was I'm taking my toys and going home because it's not going my way moment.
Favre versus the Raiders when his dad died. Amazing performance.
Oh. And, you know,
they walked into
and I don't like a grinder. I'm not a Favre fan by any stretch of the imagination.
That's different to me, too, because that's every excuse. Nobody's coming down on you for missing that game. And the fact he came out and had maybe the best game of his career. I remember watching that.
Didn't he do it twice, too?
And his wife ended up getting diagnosed with cancer. He ran out there and had another one. I mean, there might be something to the fact that he's too dumb to know.
Two for three. Kind of, I think the other one had another situation, but he didn't do so well in the third.
But that's not even mental health. That's the world just smashing the gut with a bat and you walking through it. Yeah. That's taking Earth's best punch and saying, I'm good. Watch this. I'll deal with something like this another way. I mean, taking punches is part of persevering. It's part of getting past things like that. So, and also, like this guy says, Ritalin. They also have pills for it. Get those spinnies. Get that. Anyway, it's going to be a tough day for me. I'm trying to get through it all, but I'm weighing my loyalty versus the business of football and baseball and all that stuff.
Well, this guy Eric texted in. He goes, Gonzo went to the Dodgers. Randy went to the Yankees. We have pain, too. But they weren't homegrown.
They weren't.
They weren't from here.
You bought a championship. Bought a championship. And the person that you needed to really hang on to in that whole situation is Jerry Colangelo. He's the statue from that team.
Yeah,
because you went out and you just picked up. I mean, look at that team of all-stars they bought. Matt Williams, Schilling, Johnson. The homegrown guys were the ones you crossed your fingers and said, don't screw this up for everybody.
Yeah.
All those other pitchers, you know. You had Brian Anderson, who wasn't even a homegrown, but who's that
Manti.
Other guy? Matt Manti was like just an insane person. But I don't know, he wasn't on the championship team, was he? That was Byung-Hun Kim's job to lose.
That was,
Yeah.
BK Kim.
He was a homegrown. All the dudes that were homegrown, Steve Finley, Devon, I mean, that whole thing was assassins, hired guns across the field.
Tony.
Rubio Durazo was your only guy.
Let's see. And was he?
He was first base.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he was the guy.
He was. Yeah, he was
Miguel Batista.
Miguel Batista was the pitcher that used to play the flute in the locker room. He was a lunatic. And you just crossed your fingers and hoped Miguel didn't blow it. And when he didn't, you were like, all right, good. We got Randy on the hill tomorrow. That was a team that was not based in loyalty because it was 3 years old.
Yeah.
So there was no loyalty to have.
Stinnett behind the plate.
Was Kelly Stinnett the catcher? Or Jorge Fabregas? I don't remember. Yeah. I think it was
Rod Barajas, Huckabee, Damian Miller.
Damian Miller, right. Somewhat of a homegrown. But, man, anyway, what are you going to do?
Gracie.
My heart hurts. Mark Grace played first base. Yes. That's right. Durazo was the backup. How do I forget Mark Grace?
Yeah.
Also,
Craig Counsell.
Mark Grace is a perfect example of what we're talking about. Wasn't going to get one with the Cubs. I was actually happy for Mark Grace to get out of Chicago when he did. Because it's like, we can't get you one, man. You've done, this is your, what, your 18th season, 17th year. Get out of here. Go. Go win something somewhere else. It's not happening here. And I, as a fan, you're like, that's it. And I still have a.
And it was very welcome because you'd see him 6 weeks out of the year, every year.
He was
living
here anyway. Yeah. He was boning all of our wives during from November till February. And then he'd, you know, he'd go over to Hohokam, play a little spring ball, and leave for a few months. Mark was an Arizona guy. Ask every woman here who's ever met Mark.
That was a huge part of, you know, we'd said it before, a huge part of a lot of those players coming back here because they spent so much time here. I can play here now?
Yeah. I've gone on long enough. I'm going to continue to talk about this for the rest of the day. It's the only topic I've got.
I'm done with this.
I don't even care.
We'll come back after the break.
Yeah, it's just, I'm emotionally shattered by it. Got pictures of this dude in my home.
You had pictures of this dude
in
your
home. That's going to be a tough one. It's going to be really weird.
In the garage. Don't have to throw it away. Just put it away.
There's a place in the closet that I have a painting of blonde Jesus that a Mormon friend who gave up on Mormonism gave me, and I find it hysterical, but I can't hang it in my house.
Put blonde Jesus up then instead.
Blonde Jesus will replace him for a little bit.
Let's do a little, I think do a little cutout.
You know what's going to replace
jersey
him?
Jersey and tape it over the glass.
My painting of Barry Wood by J. Todd Hines.
Oh, there you go.
I will put Barry Wood in the place.
There you go.
Of Rizzo. Now, my big, naked, black dong of Barry Wood will replace it because you know what? That guy's dead. He's legend. He can't leave me.
He can't switch teams.
He can't switch. Well, definitely some guys walking by might switch teams thinking, what in the world is going on here?
That bat doesn't go anywhere.
No, that bat stays right there, and it's going to go up right there in my cubby wall of fame. I can't have Rizzo up there anymore. Megan was shocked when I said,
what? That's a picture of, I'm in it.
You don't matter in that picture. Did you autograph it? Did you autograph that photo? I don't think so. That's coming down.
What are we going to do with it?
I don't know. What are you going to do with it? It's yours now. I don't want it. It's your picture of you, you know, egomaniac. I don't have any pictures of me anywhere.
They're all here.
I got, well, even the painting that one guy did of me is down at the H&H Ranch. And it's funny. Like, it's when you first walk into my bedroom in the H&H Ranch, there's a painting of me on the wall because...
The paintings we had here?
Why not? No.
Oh, okay.
Some other dude, and I forgot his name, and I wish I hadn't, did a digital artwork of me, and it's fantastic.
Oh, really?
It's me if I was, like, cooler and, like, in the WWE, I think. I think it's just because people walk by and go, what are you, John Cena's brother, when they say that? I'm like, it's not a real... It's a picture of me he took and then did a painting of.
Oh, okay.
And it's... It may be one of my finer photos as far as me looking cool, because I don't do that too good. And
Our local artist ones, Brett, have disappeared. Yeah, they were supposedly...
This guy is an actual paid by somebody artist, not some local guy who sets up a weird tent that you buy at Walmart on, you know, first Fridays.
But
and
those disappeared.
I still got mine.
You got yours.
Because mine wasn't bad. Mine, because I was wearing sunglasses in it, so I didn't have the rapey eyes like John had in Toledo.
Scott Haynes says, give your Rizzo stuff to Toledo. He keeps memorial things in his garage.
Oh.
Good thought. You can put it next to all those other dead balloons. Anyway, sorry. Loyalties, everybody.
That's what you should do. Just put a little table in front of it and have the little shrine. Balloons and flowers.
Some Mexican candles.
Yeah. Send you one of those gift baskets.
Yeah, a couple of votive candles.
Lady of Guadalupe. I'll take where the empty picture is and put candles up and then paint a white like Yankees logo. That's where he goes to die. Anyway. Well, let's get a wake-up song. It's depressing. Sports. What is it? Come on. I blame my dad for this. I need Katrina again. It's my dad's fault getting me all involved in this crap. I could have had a normal life like Brady, walking around filming ants and stuff.
That's normal.
It's not, but at least, you know, it's shameful, but there's no harm in it. I mean, it's total shame, and it's a life poorly lived. But still, it's better than this.
I got some great Chuck Walla footage.
Yesterday. Oh, I bet you did. No. I keep looking for that gecko I let back in. I want to charge him up here and see what you do.
I'm looking every morning.
He's down there somewhere. He didn't get out again. I guarantee it. Anyway, let's get a wake-up song. 585-9800. Meanwhile, I got Trip Reeb who's going to come in here.
Dancing.
Grinning ear to ear that his team's buying a championship again. Because he got mad yesterday when I said, well, good. Now you get a couple trades in and you can get a legitimate championship unlike that COVID nonsense you guys pulled off last year. What did Trip do? You know what? You. And he left. I think he meant it. Wake up song, 585-9800. A good one, and we'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
Hey, it's not weird. It's pretty cool, actually. No membership fees.
I have heard enough of this.
KUPD. You've been listening to Holmberg's Morning Sickness Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet mesquite, repeat. Eric's Family BBQ.com.